this afternoon. Psalm 81 is a psalm of Asaph. There are several of these in the Bible. One of them is Psalm 50, from which we had our call to worship from Psalm 50, verse 15 this afternoon. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you. You will glorify me. Then Psalm 73 through 83 are the rest of the psalms of Asaph. This is right in the middle of them. And probably was a psalm that was penned in the context of going up to one of the feasts, probably the Feast of Tabernacles, which would be leading to the great Day of Atonement celebrations in the Old Testament. An opportunity for them to remember their deliverance from Israel. Feast of Tabernacles, we remember how we lived in tents for 40 years. And so the Lord is encouraging his people. We begin with a call to shout and sing and rejoice, but the Lord will also challenge his people in terms of their unwillingness. So we take this psalm as an encouragement and a challenge and an invitation to call upon the Lord. Psalm 81 in our Pew Bibles, page 676. To the chief musician on an instrument of Gath, a psalm of Asaph. Sing aloud to God our strength. Make a joyful shout to the God of Jacob. Raise a song and strike the timbrel, the pleasant harp with the lute. Blow the trumpet at the time of the new moon, at the full moon, on our solemn feast day. For this is a statute for Israel, a law of the God of Jacob. This he established in Joseph as a testimony. When he went throughout the land of Egypt, where I heard a language I did not understand, I removed his shoulder from the burden. His hands were freed from the baskets. You called in trouble, and I delivered you. I answered you in the secret place of thunder. I tested you at the waters of Meribah. Hear, O my people, and I will admonish you. O Israel, if you will listen to me, there shall be no foreign god among you, nor shall you worship any foreign god. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt. Open your mouth wide, and I will fill it. But my people would not heed my voice, and Israel would have none of me. So I gave them over to their own stubborn heart to walk in their own counsels. Oh, that my people would listen to me, that Israel would walk in my ways. I would soon subdue their enemies and turn my hand against their adversaries. The haters of the Lord would pretend submission to him, but their fate would endure forever. He would have fed them also with the finest of wheat, and with honey from the rock, I would have satisfied you. I'll draw our attention to verse 10 as our focus through which we will take in briefly this afternoon the call of this psalm to prayer. Psalm 81, verse 10, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt. Open your mouth wide, and I will fill it. Indeed, this is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, as we are being called to prayer here this afternoon, I trust you can appreciate how this psalm is a good encouragement to us as well as a challenge. And boys and girls, I don't know if you have been out and about looking at robin's nests or anything like that during this time of year. I acknowledge I'm no ornithologist. I'm no studier of birds, so I'm not exactly sure where the eggs and the little nests are at this point. But I can remember when I was a little boy, you could sometimes see robin's nests with the little baby robins who had come out of the shells with their mouths wide open, gaping open, waiting for their mother. or their father to come and feed them with worms. I trust you can appreciate the picture of those little baby robins with beaks wide open. I think that's something of the picture we should have in terms of what the Lord is teaching us about prayer here this afternoon. Open your mouth wide, and I will fill it. It's a command of God. It's an invitation that we have from God. It's an encouragement and a challenge for us in terms of our approach to God in prayer. And I wonder if we would do a little bit of thinking about our own prayer lives and our life of prayer as covenant community, as Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, whether we would be able to say that we could compare well with the wide open beaks of the little spring robins. I wonder if that describes or depicts our own prayer focus. And I should think that even seeking to answer that little question would challenge most of us. It certainly challenges me to acknowledge that too often our focus on prayer, my focus on prayer, could not be described or depicted or drawn out with the picture of those little robins with their mouths, their beaks wide open, but perhaps instead with our lips pursed. Our lips pursed in a sense of self-satisfaction, in the sense that we have enough, we can do it on our own. Thank you very much. And if, boys and girls, you can have the picture of the robin's beak, the little baby robin's beaks wide open as an encouragement to prayer, maybe you can also be challenged with all of us in terms of our prayerlessness many times with another picture of how wide our mouths are open. Maybe you just think for a moment of supper time when mom and dad are trying to feed you with maybe some spinach or some broccoli and your lips are pursed. No, thank you. Not for me. I'm not interested. Your mouths are not wide open, but they are pressed. Your lips are pressed firmly shut. And so here's the challenge for us, the invitation. The Lord says, open your mouth wide. I will fill it. I take this as an encouragement to us during this special service of prayer. We are people who are called by God to pray continually. We pray every day. We pray throughout the course of the day. We pray every Lord's Day, every worship service. But today has a special focus on prayer, and I think this passage will help us to appreciate the privilege that is ours and challenge us to overcome a tendency to neglect and to purse our lips in self-satisfaction. Open your mouth wide, and I will fill it. That's the word of God I preach here this afternoon. We want to look at three things. In the first place, the foundation God provides. In the second place, the forwardness God provokes. And in the third place, the fullness God promises. If you look at Psalm 81, as I mentioned, it was likely a psalm written for the particular feast, the Feast of Tabernacles, which reminded God's people of how they had to live in tents in the wilderness through the 40 years of wandering. And you get the sense in the first 7 or 8 verses, certainly the first 7 verses, that the Lord is helping his people to remember what he had done. And this provides for us a foundation for our praying. We may ask the question, what gives me the right to pray? How dare you? How dare you pray to the living God? Now, as Christians who live on the right side of the Bible, That is to say, in terms of knowing the fulfillment, as New Testament Christians, we know that full deliverance has been accomplished in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we know that our foundation for praying is Jesus himself. The Lord Jesus is the one who ever lives to make intercession for us. And he is the one through whom we come to the Father. We come to the Father through Jesus Christ. So the foundation for our praying, the right that we have even to lift up our voices in prayer, the foundation is Jesus. The foundation is God's deliverance in Jesus. Now in the Old Testament, that was understood in terms of promises and pictures. And that was understood in terms of God's great deliverance of his people from bondage and slavery in Egypt. And that's the foundation for their praying. That's what God is saying to them when he reminds them of how he delivered them from Egypt. Verse 6, I removed his shoulder from the burden. His hands were freed from the baskets. You called in trouble, and I delivered you. I answered you in the secret place of thunder. He's reminding them of the great deliverance they enjoyed by God's mighty hand and his outstretched arm. And so he summarizes it at verse 10. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt. We hear those words almost every Sunday morning when we read from Exodus chapter 20. This is reminding us of the great deliverance God has worked for his people, and that's fulfilled for us in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so on the basis of the confidence we have in God's great deliverance, that God goes on to say to us, then open your mouth. You understand, I have become your God. I have delivered you. I have saved you. I have delivered you from bondage and slavery to sin. You are free. You are mine. You belong to me. I am the Lord your God. So we have a firm foundation upon which to stand when we lift up our hearts to God in prayer. It's the God who has saved us with a mighty hand, who now says to us, who actually commands us, open your mouth and pray. We have a firm foundation because this is the God who is able. I am the God who has delivered you. He's not a weak God. There are no other gods. I am the Lord, your God. He is the one who has saved us and redeemed us in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so this call to prayer comes in the context of knowing God as our God and rejoicing in the blessing of his salvation. And that makes us want to pray, doesn't it? We know him. We want to know him better. We want to be in sweet communion with him. We want to lift up our voices to him. We want to open our mouths wide. We want to speak to him. We want to bring to him all of our needs and requests. We have a firm foundation. And again, we could round this out by reminding ourselves of what is told us in the New Testament. Romans 8, 31 and 32. If God did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not, along with him, freely give us all things? This is the foundation for our praying. This is the foundation for our confidence. This is the reason we pray and the reason we know we can. We come to him in Jesus' name. We come to him in the joy, a sense of awe and gladness of the redemption, the deliverance he has won for us in Jesus. I want to look in the second place at what I call the forwardness that God provokes. The forwardness that God provokes. I don't know if you've ever been in a situation where you were told, hey, I think you were a little too forward there. I think you were a little too bold. Maybe I don't know. We could imagine we had an opportunity to be in the presence of King Charles III. And you're tugging on his robes and you're saying, "Hey, can I have a candy?" And you might say to your child who's doing such things, "That's a little too forward. That's a little bold. That's really not your place. I don't think King Charles has candies for you." But God says to us, the God of the universe, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, who is far more glorious, far more exalted than any earthly king, God says, open your mouth wide. Ask. Ask the world. Ask according to all of your needs. Open your mouth wide. And he's provoking us to be more bold than we typically are. Again, the challenge for us in our praying is that we are more likely to be pictured as those with pursed lips not wanting to eat our spinach. And God says, open wide. Open wide. Open wide because you need me. Open wide as we think of all of our struggles in this life, as we think of all of the battles we face. We need to be encouraged to know the Lord has said, I would subdue your enemies. Who are our enemies? The world around us in its pushing of its sinful ways, the world that is no friend to grace, the devil who prowls around as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour, but our own sinful flesh. These are our sworn enemies, the devil, the world, our own sinful flesh. And the Lord says, open wide. I would subdue your enemies. You need help. We need help because we struggle against sin. We need help because we face difficulties and disappointments. We get sick. We have loved ones who get sick. Open wide your mouth. God is provoking us to be forward. He's urging us to ask for more than we would have thought possible. He reminds us that the blessing that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ is abundantly more than we would ever ask or imagine. Open wide. That ought to challenge us in terms of the way that we pray. We are hesitant, perhaps. We are, what you would say, reticent to ask too much. We don't want to ask too much of the Lord, and the Lord is saying, open wide. I am able. I am the Lord your God. Open wide. We think of the mission of the church. We think of the opposition the church faces in the midst of the world. We think of the way in which the world presses upon us and upon our young people. It's worldview. It says, you know, be yourself. Do your own thing. You belong to yourself. Do what you want. But the text here as well is reminding us, that's not life. It's not life. Immediately following the invitation to open wide for every blessing, it's almost as though we take a couple steps backward because of the way the Lord addresses specifically the disinterestedness of his people. We need to be provoked in that way. He says, verse 11, but my people would not heed my voice. And Israel would have none of me. Now that has to challenge us. Israel would have none of me. Open your mouth wide, I will fill it. Now the point is not God will give you everything your little heart would ever have desired. A new house, a new car, some fancy clothes, and everything going well for you in your workaday world. When he says, open your mouth and I will fill it, and then he says, but my people would have none of me, the implication is the Lord is saying, I'll give you myself. I'll give you myself. And that's what he's done in the Lord Jesus Christ. He has given us everything. And again, Romans 8:31 and 32, if he did not spare his own son but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not also along with him freely give us all things? The Lord is provoking us even with this challenge. His people didn't seem all that interested. And I think that has to pinch for us. How devoted are we to prayerfulness? How eager are we? How wide do we open our mouths in prayer to God? What does it look like to have our mouths open wide in prayer? It is this deep sense, like the little baby robins, if I don't get this worm, I am going to die. And if I don't have the blessing of God, I'm not going to make it. That's what God is saying here in terms of provoking us. My people wouldn't heed my voice, so I gave them over to their own stubborn heart. Okay, so be it. How's that going for you? And I think from day to day, in our own Christian experience, with regard to our own prayer life, we know what that's like, don't we? When we would have none of God, with our lips pursed, because we're self-satisfied, we're doing okay, thank you very much, and we're not prayerful. How's that go for us? Not well. You see, it's the mercy of God to challenge us in this way, to remind us, to bring us back to who he is and what he's done. And he's provoking us to be more forward, to be more bold, to be more persistent. Praying with an open mouth means we persevere in prayer. We keep at it because we always need the grace of God. We're not going to make it apart from the blessing of his Spirit that he promises through prayer. And so we pray urgently today for the blessing of the Lord upon the growing season, upon the economy, upon the world in which we live, upon the mission of the church, because we need his blessing. The Lord would not have us be given over to ourselves. He doesn't want that. Verse 13, oh, that my people would listen to me. That Israel would walk in my ways. That's God's heart's desire for the well-being of his church, his heart's desire for us. Oh, God speaks with passion and with love for his people. And that brings us in the third place to the fullness that God promises. If we were to ask ourselves why, we can sometimes be described better as children who won't eat their spinach than as little robins with their beaks open. Why that is? We would have to say, perhaps we think we're doing quite well on our own. Thank you very much. More to the point, we might better say, we don't have an eager, an earnest sense of the glory of God and that God should be glorified through our lives. And maybe you could add to that that there are times in our lives when, in our negligence, we know we dare not be forward to come into God's presence because we are overwhelmed with our own sense of failings. I referenced Psalm 66, verse 18 this morning, which in the way that we have often sung it, at least in the past, it goes like this: if in my heart I sin regard, my prayer he will not hear. So when we are burdened with the guilt of sin, when we are overwhelmed with a sense that we have fallen short of God's glory, we keep our distance from God. We keep our lips pursed. We don't open wide our mouths. But you see, what God is saying to us here in this psalm as he provokes us to forwardness is that it's exactly then you need to come to me. And it's exactly then that you can come to me. This is a psalm that drips with grace. In the end, we see that it's a psalm that drips with an anticipation of honey from the rock. And what God is saying is, I will satisfy you. I will satisfy you with myself. I will hear your prayers and I will answer you and I will give you what you need. What you need is me. Verse 16, he would have fed them also with the finest of wheat and with honey from the rock. I would have satisfied you. Now, there's an interesting picture there as well. Honey from the rock. You don't typically get honey from rocks. What God is saying is, from the hardest of circumstances, from the most difficult of challenges, because of who I am the Lord your God who has delivered you in the Lord Jesus Christ. I will satisfy you with wheat and honey from those hardest of places, in the midst of the most difficult of circumstances. God promises to satisfy us. Now, in this life, we're not talking about smug self-satisfaction that says, I made it, and I'm doing so well, I never need to talk to God again. And that's not the point. He satisfies us with himself. And like a taste of honey, the blessing that we have in God's gift of himself to us tastes like more. So open wide your mouth, and I will fill it. Is God's challenge, his command, and his promise. Amen. We're going to be singing through portions of Psalm 81 as we work into our prayer time together. So in the first section that follows, we're going to have Deacon Mark Vreeling praying for the world, our work, and service. And let's sing together in preparation for that from 81A, the A rendition of Psalm 81, and we'll sing the stanzas 1 and 2 of 81A.
As Pastor John mentioned, I'll be praying for the world, our work, and service. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we acknowledge our dependence on you, the Creator, Sustainer, and King over all the earth. You are the one who rules over and judges the nations.